Welcome to the Millennial Soul Food Podcast, episode 29 with Gangsta Gurry. I'm your host, Keyonce. Enjoy.
What's up, Gurry?
Hello, 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 hello. Hi.
What's up?
How are you?
Girl, I...
Child, listen.
It's giving tired.
It's giving exhaustion. It's giving, girl, like, I'm just glad to be here, but bitch, I could take a nap right now. Like, just making it through the day, okay?
Down. Yeah. So I'm just thankful to be able to work from home and have enough money to eat. You know, and social support, you know, COVID did affect some family members, but not as bad as some people. So I have a lot to be grateful for. And I'm grateful for people like you who I get to, you know, work with. And this was literally like, I was looking forward to this all day. I'm like, I am excited for the energy.
Yes. I'm so glad you said that, because I was literally like, I've been thinking about this ever since we talked about it. It's just like a sense of excitement, you know what I'm saying? And also just like a sense of community that I don't think that we get to have very often. Mm-hmm. And I feel like when it does happen, you know what I'm saying, you have to take advantage of it and have gratitude for it, because listen, I think especially like now, as we have been, you know, living through these times, we start to notice what are the things that we are releasing from our area, releasing from our arena that don't necessarily serve us because they're outdated. You dig what I'm saying? And like, as we are getting older, as we are becoming more wise, we're starting to find not just our tribe, but people that we can actually have those deep conversations with, or those life-changing conversations with, that opens the door for that. So it's just like, I've been thinking, like, because, you know, I'm such a wonderful, like, I love watching what you do and watching what you share, because I feel like it's so important to have a voice, a queer voice. You feel what I'm saying? Child. Because you know me. I mean, I'd be like, I've been out here in the streets for a long time. You know what I'm saying? And people pop up, people come and go, but it's also just like knowing somebody has good intention, not just for themselves, but for everybody else that they're connecting with. You know what I'm saying? And certain energies carry that. So I just have to extend my gratitude.
Wow.
Like, literally, like, I was like, I've been waiting to tell you this, and I'm glad I get to do this now.
So it'd be hard out here.
Okay. Who you telling? Who you telling? Then came through, then made some shit happen. But also, like, the authenticity. You know what I'm saying? I think that's the other
thing. Oh, thank you. I'm just a country bitch from Mississippi.
You ain't told me shit I ain't ever heard before, because I was about to say, listen, I'm a Conyers girl. I was raised in Conyers, Georgia.
I was going to ask you about that. Yeah, I feel like it's important for, do you identify, your pronouns are he, him, right? I think it's important for especially like queer Black men to have these kinds of conversations, because I don't think that we have as much of a community as like, I guess you could say like cis women or Black women, especially. I think there's a lot of just trauma with like Black queer men that keeps us from connecting, you know? And I don't like to write off all Black queer men as being like catty and stuff like that. It's just more like facing different parts that are reflected in a group that's very similar to you, you know what I mean? So I am here for these kinds of, you're like, shit.
I'm like, listen, I'm like, we going there. I was about to say, because we can go all over, because I got words on that. I went to Morehouse. So like,
Tell me about that.
Definitely a life, like, that was one of those things, you know, like, when you growing up, you're like, why the hell, we can cuss on here, right? Because because it was given very, why the fuck my mama got me going here? My mother went to Morris Brown, so she went there, had that experience. It was like, I think this would be great for you. And I was like, girl, but I think, like, the first couple years, being around a bunch of other men that also were, like, closeted, was very difficult as somebody who was working on accepting themselves. You know what I'm saying? But also being able to learn and understand how, you know, media, society has depicted Black men in a specific type of light and painted them as a very one-dimensional person, a very one-dimensional character, whether it's in television, whether it's in reality television, like, you name it. You know what I'm saying? You look at a Black man, you always automatically assume these things, and they're not always the most positive. So being able to just like have that, and then, you know, so many different folks coming from different walks of life. Like I grew up, like I said, very Southern. Didn't come from a lot, but came from enough. And seeing rich black folks. Listen, got to be grateful for it, because it's like a bitch is still here.
You didn't come from a lot, but what you say?
I came from enough, okay? Catch that.
Catch that, bitch. That is a motherfucking word.
It's the fucking truth. Like, it's like, girl, like, I wish I was on yachts, as my mom used to say, yachts and shit.
Stop. Like, you need to.
Listen, or I was in Bali, bitch. Like, I wish I could have taken them trips when I was, you know, 17 or whatever, had my nice car, but it wasn't given that. But you know what? We still good, and we can take our little yacht trips in our adult age. You know what I'm saying? That's reversing the curse, okay?
Amen to
that. I was like, amen.
Hey, light up, girl.
I was like, because baby girl, I had to come prepared. I told you I had to take a nap because I was like, bitch, get your energy right, because today has been very all over the place. You feel what I'm saying? And I was like, I scheduled my whole day because today is the last day of Ramadan. So tonight, so like tonight is like when, as far as I know, because I've been observing, it became more of like a spiritual practice. Like ever since I stepped out into the world and stepped into myself, something felt like appropriate, you know what I'm saying? To just like really start this path. And also, like, I tell people, I'm like a 5-year-old, I need direction. Like, give me the step-by-step process. Like, I have prayer 5 times a day. I know what I can do. I know what I can't do. Like, those types of things to help me keep a routine, a schedule. I'm like, it's 30 days.
So do you identify as Muslim?
Not at all. I did not grow up around other Muslims unless I was in school. You know what I'm saying? But cool. Say that again.
Oh, I think that's really cool, though, because, like, I mean, prayer is essential to any spiritual tradition, period. And then also, there is a lot of Islam influence, one on Ifa, on, you know, in Nigeria. So I think that's really cool that you're, like, kind of observing the prayers and stuff. And
it feels like a remembering. It feels like something I used to do, but like kind of like lost. And of course it got muddled in, you know, Southern Baptist Christianity and stuff like that over the years. And it feels like a step back around to this person that I know that I have been like growing into. And the I feel like, especially this year, it's been very, you know, it's given me time to reflect and time to really process what I mean when I say I'm ascending. You know what I'm saying? People use that word so all over the place. It's just like it's a specific meaning to it. And it's like, what are the sacrifices that go along with it? And what is the battle that you are willing to kind of like take on in order to get to that next stage? And sometimes you need a couple of check-ins during the day.
Woo!
Be like, listen,
with this the right. Lord.
Okay. Bring me back, God. Okay. Lord, forgive me, because I know that today has been a snatch and a serve. But you know what? We back on track. I'm still full of gratitude, okay? Listen, I mean it, because you know me. When I get in my bag, I turn into Preacher Bay, okay? And some of my girlfriends are like, it's the GG Ministries around here, okay?
Woo! GG Ministry.
Okay. Okay.
GG and Keontae in this motherfucker.
Okay. Okay. Listen. Okay. Hallelujah. Holla back, bitch.
All my fucking life, bitch. You need to be a regular on the show. Also, we need to get that Asheville tea for this past week. Because we're going to get into your biography, all that kind of stuff. We got a lot of stuff to talk about. But I don't know. This is kind of heavy, also. I saw a lot of obituaries this past week with people. This one person from Chicago, they were like a dominatrix, and they passed away. And then someone from Queer Wave podcast or something like that, one of those people passed away.
Oh my gosh.
So I don't know. And then all my friends have been anxious as fuck.
Yeah.
I've been kind of going through some shit, like, and this is, I don't know.
Ooh, I needed to hear all of this, because first and foremost, I want to say, because it's just like, we remember these people in paradise. There was a phrase that I remember, because people are like, not resting in peace, because we still have these people's energies around us and stuff like that. So remember them in paradise. And it's very interesting, because somebody close to me reached out to me yesterday from a strange number and then told me they ended up breaking their phone because their father had passed away out of nowhere. So it's like, that is like happening really. Like, and it's very interesting that we're like talking about this, and it's also like scary, you know what I'm saying? Because then of course, like when that starts happening, it makes you start thinking about like your own people and like start really praying for them more and start just like being aware of like every moment. You really never know. And then it also starts making you reflect on yourself. And I think that that is what this whole week has been so far. It's been really heavy reflection on like, who am I? Like, I know who I am for real, like, and I know this with conviction, but, like, I need to make sure that if I say this, I'm gonna be about it, and what are the steps that get me to being about it? What are the things I gotta fall away along with it? And that's in the physical and the non-physical, you know?
Damn, that is so true. Yeah. I know they said Jupiter moved into Pisces or something like that.
Tomorrow, I believe they say, it's supposed to be going into Pisces. Listen, I know, like I tell people, I ain't no astrologer. I know when some shit be moving around and stuff like that in the sky, I pay attention. I like to follow the moon. Like, that's like my main focus is like the moon placements and like, when is the moon in this sign? And like, what is this energy bringing during this season? And then looking at the cycles throughout a year.
I'm definitely a moon witch too. I mean, I do a lot of witch stuff with the eclipses and stuff. So what exactly are your, like, modalities? Because we're, like, you know, we are both spiritual workers, but we are working on, we're working on the same team, but, you know, we just got different modalities. So what, which, where are you?
Okay, that's a really great question, and I don't think I've ever been asked this. So this is, like, a very, like, first time thing discussing it. So, like, my step in was through Lukumi Santeria. I went to Cuba back in 2013, and I was there for like a, I was a PhD student back in the day. In a past life, I used to study like Hispanic languages and literatures, so I was there doing research for a summer. And I had this really like traumatic experience happen while I was there, and basically like one of the people that I met that was on like tour or like with his school or whatever, I met them in the time that I was like there, and I ended up reaching out to them because I was like, they're the only people that were from America that I had met, and he was like, I have somebody to like take you to. So he took me to the Cayon de Jamel. It's basically like this this like pathway, it's like a, I want to say kind of like a little tunnel, little cave or what have you, and they had babalaos. So it's like basically being able to sit with like a babalao, and that was like my first time ever doing something different. And I remember he adored me with like the Eleke de Shango, and that was like the first time I ever found out about anything like differently. I hadn't gone through initiation. It was basically just like me sitting with like different like babalaos while I'm in this new country, having this whole spiritual experience.
What?
Was, like, something has got, that's what like started it. And that was like, we'll say like 8-9 years ago. And then just like, you know, life happens. And that wasn't necessarily my focus. It's like that was in the background, but never something I really like knew how to like access, because it felt so foreign. It felt so like, this is a different country, different land. You don't have that same access to these people anymore. So maybe like 2017, 2018, this was right around when I started getting into like crystals, when I started learning more about like my numerology and stuff like that. I ended up finding somebody that I think is like a hoodoo priest or something like that. And it was like, I would get like different like products from them at that point. And like, they were like the person that like, I would like learn like even the littlest of stuff from. But then life shifted and took me kind of like, cause I've always been a very independent person, figure things out on my own. So it's like, I would see certain things and then I would just like learn, play around. My altars have shifted so many different times. You know what I'm saying? And like, I've created so many different ones. So like when people ask, I'm like, I do it all. I pay attention and observe everything, but like, I'm not a person that says that I am the patron saint of X. You know what I'm saying? It's like, I take what works for me, which may not work for everybody else, but I do identify and like have like my head, like Orisha and stuff like that, that's been like told to me and stuff.
Shango? Almost Shango. I'm Shango too.
Really?
See, yeah. That's what we, and we my mother is Oshun.
My mother's Oya.
Oh, good.
So when you was like, on a Wednesday, I was like, oh, okay, cute. Like, this will work out perfectly. And you know, it's ever since I found out, like, officially, because, like, you know, but you don't really know until somebody tells you. And then when somebody tells you, it's like, okay, that's it. So it's like, every time, like, during this stretch of the week, that's when things start to, like, come around and the winds start moving. And it's been really loud in New York this year, like, on Wednesdays, like, whether it's thunderstorms, whether it's, like, like lightning storms out of fucking nowhere. Like the wind is like, they're like heavy winds. I'm like, girl, like, okay, I get it. Like, I get it. It was not given this yesterday, but it's given that today. So, but that's kind of like today, like 2021 me, like this has been work. You know what I'm saying? Like, I would say probably since, we'll say 2017, 2018 is when I like hopped back out there for myself. And I felt like spirit, the universe, like God, you know what I'm saying? Like everybody was coming through at different times, but I felt like the majority of the last couple of years has been like ancestral work and like really, really tapping into just like understanding what that means and where I come from. You know what I mean?
So what was your first like step into ancestor veneration?
So
that's first thing, everybody be curious about that.
Like, honestly, wow. Cause okay. This is what it is. I want to say it was maybe like right around the time that I really started getting deeper into my practices. My stepbrother randomly passes away out of nowhere. It becomes national news. Like, it's like a whole thing. Like, you can find it on ABC.
In
like
Georgia?
In Tennessee, it was like a... It was like a waterfall or something like that. And the water took him under. Craziest shit ever. So this is like June 2017. And even though we didn't have the closest relationship, because growing up, he didn't come into my life until I was an adult. So it was like maybe like 3 or 4 years worth of time that we had in the physical to be able to connect. But that was like my stepmother's only son. So of course, like that is something that became very, very, you know, like thinking of him. You know, trying to like step in. My dad was like, you should step. I'm like, I can't do that. You know what I'm saying? That's not my place. But it was more like, how can I, because he was always like an entrepreneur, like an actor, like he was always in the spotlight. So for me, it was like calling in that energy and being like, okay, like he was not here to do that. How can I do that? Cause that's something I've always wanted to do, but have been scared to. So like, how do I call that energy in? So
his life is inspiration.
There you go. And it's like, ever since then, that's been what my version of ancestral veneration is. So it's like, I got the altar, I got the setup. It's like, it grows, you know what I'm saying, as time goes on. And then I feel like the more that I started to do ancestral veneration and really just like thinking about like, yo, like, you know, some mornings you wake up and it'd be somebody that's on your altar that hits your mind. And it's like, okay, baby, I know what you need. Let me burn this little incense. Let me light this little candle for you. Cause listen, I call myself on the low low. I'm like, I call myself on the secret, like a magician, because I literally have all my little potions and shit. Like, I have probably over like 75, 80 different like conjure oils from like
big
practitioners. Yeah. Like, I don't know if everybody really know that, but I literally have been stocking up.
I peeped it.
Okay.
Still recognize real, my nigga.
Okay. Okay. Because the bitch don't play about her shit. Okay.
I'm
going to be official out this motherfucker. Don't get it twisted. So it's like, I go in my. Mix my shit, you know what I'm saying? I'm like, what you need? Because it's literally like, I turn into like this little doctor up in this home. And then it's like, I'll set it out. And then it's either like somebody else comes with some message. Somebody out of the random literally pops up in my mind. And that's the balm that I need, you know what I'm saying? And it's like, that has been, I guess, like where the gift has been kind of like been massaged. And also just like the centeredness of myself in this process. Because it's helped me change. And just reflect and also be able to trust myself a little bit more than I ever have before. So it's a process, but it's also a desire for more, you know what I'm saying? And a desire for more ground and desire for more like focus and a desire to be able to like honor those that are not here in the physical while honoring myself at the same time. You know what I'm saying? Everybody else is connected to me. Cause it's like once, you know, when your light starts shining, everybody else around you be on the same shit.
Bitch. Yeah. I feel like you have some like multi-dimensional ancestors. Like, I don't like saying starseed, but you give me kind of like shaman vibes too.
That's funny that you say that. I think like if we were going to say like the goal in life, like to be kind of like that person that is able to be out in the woods but can also be in the streets. You feel what I'm saying? Like, and you can merge between the two and everybody know you where you go. Everybody respect what you do. You know what I'm saying? But you are able to speak to and move through everything. And it's like one of my favorite decks that I got last year. It's like the shamanic medicine deck. My best friend and I, like that's something that he's kind of like saw me taking my spiritual journey. And like he started going on his. And it's like, it's crazy how like sometimes the telepathy between the two of us is so ugly. It's so amazing. Like, I cannot even explain, but it's like he's on his own journey and he'd be out here talking to fucking animals and like bugs and shit. And I'm like, okay, Dr. Doolittle, like,
okay. But
it's like, these are things that we be doing. Like, in the, you know how you, when you were a kid and thinking that shit was like real crazy, but it's like as adults, we're like, okay, like we
but
see
it do where be
we're
real. Supposed to
be at. It's very real. It's very real.
It people just takes- also be sending little bugs after to listen and get the tea on your business. Oh. That's why it's important to keep your shit protected.
Ooh.
That's some other tea, but.
Ooh, okay. That. Okay, girl.
Okay.
I was about to say, but you know, around this, or in this home, in this Caucasian home, is the girl you say. We don't play that shit, okay?
I rebuke me.
Okay, listen, red brick dust around this mug. You got firewall protection. Listen, people come to my house and be like, why are those handprints on the window? I'm like, girl. That's to make sure that we don't have no bullshit up in here. What are you talking about? Like, that's firewall protection, girl.
But witch has different connotations, you know?
Mm-hmm.
I think it is. I think one thing, I try not to be a gatekeeper of spirituality because, you know, language is, the definitions of language are transient. There isn't one static definition. So, you know, some people might think witch is like a white people word. I see witch, I see it kind of from a different standpoint. I do think of it as a European word, but I see witches as being more like nature witches and like ritual work with spirits, like SPDP stuff, people and stuff like that. So that's why I'm saying witch for anyone. Because I know you don't call yourself that or whatever, but.
Right, and like I was gonna say, I received that.
But hoodoo with very, like, I don't know if they're Pleiadian or like another star system, but you definitely give me that kind of like vibe.
I received that.
I don't know if Tyrion, but yeah, definitely like you're working with some other extraterrestrial people.
And it's
like me.
And it's like, and we can talk about this because we hear, it's like sometimes you feel like you have this other running like vibration that you're trying to like channel through and understand what their purpose is, because sometimes they send you on like the wildest of goose chases or like the most craziest shit, and then it's like, why the fuck I gotta do all of this in order to get this clarity? But then it's like you're trying to separate both of those energies and kind of like be able to give names. It's like trying to understand their names, you feel what I'm saying? And like it's like what version of them shows up and how do you kind of like allow them to channel whatever I guess information needs to be known for the collective, whether it's for yourself, and then also working towards like, because I think it's more of like an activator, you know what I'm saying? Like I touch people and it's like something turns on, whether it's the smallest of things or whether it's the biggest of things. So it's like there's some sort of like, I don't know, they call it light worker stuff going on. I don't really know. Sometimes it's like you do and it feels right, and it's like people have names for it. And I'm like, I don't know, girl. I just be out here healing. I'd be like, I'm a healing
hand. Laying hands.
Okay, child. I just went out of town. I was in Orlando. I played this. Let me tell you, I'm a live game girl. Have you ever heard of a live game?
What is that?
Okay, so have you ever heard of Survivor?
The show?
So I want you to think of like people that love like Survivor, Big Brother, like those challenge TV shows, but like aren't on them, but still have interest. There's these live games and stuff like that that people host, where it's like you fly to wherever these people are hosting this game, whether it's in, you know, Colorado, could be, I did one in upstate New York, and you play the game basically like by this host. It's like a fan. And you go through the whole process, yes. But this one specifically was for a birthday, and it was all 24 queer black men in one house. Yes, over a 3-day weekend, voting each other out, bitch.
Do they film it?
Oh, it was definitely filmed.
What network is it going to be on?
It's actually like they did it through Facebook at first. I think it's just going to be YouTube. It's something that like a company, like a production company.
Because you're one of the entertainment girls.
On the like this, secretly, like
I see it. I love it.
Secretly, but like not secretly. Like that's
not
always
secretly,
been.
Bitch.
Not secretly, bitch. Like that's always been like my vibe, you know what I'm saying? I grew up on this.
Put it out there.
You're right. I was about to say, it's right up here, child.
What is that?
I was gonna say this is my one of my little intentions list. You know what I'm saying? Because you gotta sleep on it to believe it, bitch. And I'm like, no, hey! I'm on these shows, like it's my season, and it's just like it's got to be the right little connect. But yes, What were you going to say? I apologize.
So you were on this game show.
Mm-hmm.
And like, was it dramatic? Like, what was it?
Oh, it was giving drama, like full on drama. Like, you can't put 24 niggas in one house and think it's not going to be yelling and screaming and fighting and shit. Like,
yeah.
It was giving very that. It was giving very me in the corner sometimes looking at everybody like, bitch, y'all have lost it. And I'm going to move to this other room because there's a lot of energy around me right now. And I can't deal with this. And then, of course, it's, you know, because me. It was like, it's some other man that was like, always come over with me. And I'd be like, mm-hmm, just be laid up. Because I'm like, I was giving very showmans.
Because right that's, there.
Of course. It was literally all types of men that you could, like, imagine. Ooh. It was such a sisterly experience as well.
Wow.
We had a little ball. Like, we had a little, like, a drag show. Like, I dressed somebody up in drag. Like, my partner. It was giving a lot.
That's
I definitely
amazing.
Will share it with you when it comes out. But what I loved about it was, I basically, like, when everybody was like, oh, my God, my knee. Because, you know, we getting old. My knee, my back. I was like, oh, girl, let me put my hands on you.
I mean, did you like...
Yeah, sure did. Headache gone. Wow. Kneecap back together. I was like, damn, girl, like you getting really good out
you
here.
You good at it.
Like, show the fuck out, girl.
Oh my God.
Yes.
Oh my God. That is amazing. Well, I don't want you to corrupt any of the terms of your non-disclosure agreement. I'm sure you had to sign, but
oh, that. Listen, one day we gonna get there.
Okay? One day, that is amazing. That is so yes. Cool that you're on that. Well, first I wanted to ask, do you still have your elekes and stuff for that you got from Cuba?
I remember I got two. Mm. Because I saw two different babalawos. The first one gave me the Shango Eleke, and I think the second one gave me an Orula Eleke. The Orula Eleke I lost, like, the first year that I got back to the States. The Shango Eleke broke summer last year. So it held on. It held on.
Wow, it broke. Damn. That's a long time.
When I tell you, Keontae. Like, when I tell you I have been through, like, arrests, sleeping in random places, like, getting in random, like, random fights, like, I have grown up a lot, I will say that.
Mm-hmm.
The Lord is always working on me. But right. It's gone through. I've been through hell and high water, then lost shit multiple, and that held on out of everything. And then it was, like, finally when I started getting into putting myself out there, you know what I'm saying, for the collective and doing, like, collective work and really, like, finding myself in the process, because I felt like at one point it was like I was doing it and I felt connected to it, but then I felt like I was on a work schedule that didn't make sense to me, because that's not the reason why I wanted to get, like, I started doing it, what I was doing in the first place. It started to and I was like, you got to refocus on you. And when I was in that cocoon period, that shit snapped out of nowhere. I think I wrote it down, like, sometime in June of last year. And I was like, this means something, and I don't know what it means, but I'm gonna come back to that. But shit started going very, very fast from that time on, for sure.
Wow.
I still have the beads and everything too, like, cause I'll put them in some candles and shit. Child, I keep on everything, okay? You gotta keep on everything. You never know when you're gonna come in handy later, okay?
Girl, that is so funny, cause I wasn't expecting to get Shango, cause whenever I got. I'm in Isheche, and so we do, like, the hand of Ifa first, and I was Olokun. But then, yeah, it switched. So, yeah, I love some Shango energy, though. Leadership, you know, justice. You also be dancing, too.
Moving around and shit. Mm-hmm. I don't know what I be doing. But what I explain to people when people ask, they're like, what the fuck is that? And I'm like, well, to me, I see a story. I see a music video. I see colors. I see, like, vibrations. And I wanted to bring other people into that journey with me. And it's like, along with, because the Reiki teacher I learned from was international. She lives in Turkey at the time, but she's French. So it was like, when we studied, it was always digital. So I didn't have somebody that I was, like, working on this in person with. It was always stuff that I, like, practice in at home with my friends. I'd be like, hey, girl, like, whatever, just get practice. But it was like, and then the candles were, like, the main modality that I use it for and still use it for to this day. But the dancing had always been, like, when I feel like I'm in a mood, like, I hear music and I just see it. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, I can see the beat and it's like, it turns into something very different for me. It's something that I learned from my uncle. My uncle was a DJ, you know, in his lifetime. And it's like, we grew up listening to, you know, Pac, Biggie, like Nas, like, you know what I'm saying? Like riding around doing shit. So it's like, and then he would bring his, there's like his little machine that he used to like play like beats on and shit like that. And he would just like bring it.
The looping or whatever.
Mm-hmm. And my brother makes music now. I never got into that, but I always really enjoyed listening to it, you know? So for me, it's like my way of being able to see the, like hear and see the beat. And I listen to that more than I listen to the lyrics. And it's like, I think of it throwing, like throwing energy around, you know what I'm saying? And being kind of like a dancer, but like also like an energy worker, because it's like, I raise the vibration, not just of myself, but of the room. And it helps you to shake some shit off too. So it's like, I'm doing all this work. I don't know if a lot of people know that about what it is that I do, but it's like, when I share, it's very intentional. You know what I'm saying? It's like, I want to make sure that I'm not just thinking about like what I'm doing to help me. It's like, this is helping me. And I want to show y'all how it's helping me. And I feel like that's kind of like where I want to, take stuff in the future, like being able to show how to catch music in that way to use it for your own personal healing.
I love that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Real nigga Reiki is what I originally called it.
Real nigga Reiki. Wow.
But I was like, you know, the girls the girls may be a little like, but I'm like, listen, it's how I get down.
So. Real nigga Reiki. Yeah.
Okay. Real nigga Reiki. It got a ring to it, right?
Reiki. Yeah.
Come on now. I was about to say, listen, I was about to say, hey.
Hey.
Okay.
Real nigga right. Yeah.
I said, real nigga right. Yeah. You are. I cannot with you. I cannot with you.
Well, anyway,
okay,
so mother.
Okay, Mariah, come on, Mariah.
Love her. So how long have you been living in NYC?
If this is 2021, I moved here after grad school in 2014. So like July 2014, I lived in Jersey for like nine months. I was commuting back and forth, but then I officially moved. I live in Bed-Stuy, and I've been here since June 2015.
Wow, you've been there a long time.
Ooh, child, I'm getting old.
You're 31.
Yeah, no, you're right. I definitely have been here a while, and it's getting to that point where it's like, you know, sometimes when you feel, you know, you feel the nudge, you feel the urge, where it's like, all right, baby girl, you've done what you need to do here, and it's time to pack it up and move on. But you know, you still have those connections that you don't necessarily want to, you know, let go of. That's what it's giving right now. I'm at that phase of like, you've really completed a lot here. But the way that everything has been set up, I've built a home. So it's like, who necessarily wants to leave their home? So I'm in between in those growing pains right now. And also just, you know me, I'm a pray and send it out to the universe. Like I'm praying for like the right little opportunity to plop into my lap. That'll get me to move over to the West Coast the way that I need to. So I can just,
I was going to say LA.
Everybody's been saying that. Everybody's been saying that. It's part of my desire. I just want to be by water. Like, I have to be. I'm a Scorpio. I'm a Pisces rising. Like, I thrive in water. Like, I do my spiritual baths. Like, it was once upon a time where that was, like, every 6 months. Like, maybe once a year. Child, that's, like, a once a month, once every other couple of weeks. Type of, like, I need, like, baby. It keeps the aura clear.
Hey, it seems like Los Angeles is kind of a popular trajectory for people from moving from, who have lived in New York for a minute.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if there's similar network connections, but I've had a lot of friends who live in New York and then they moved to Los Angeles. Not really like the opposite, but yeah, I mean, I could totally see you living in LA. So what would you say have been some of your most monumental moments living in NYC, especially because, I mean, I think you got to live in NYC for the last 5 years pre-COVID. You know, a lot of shit has changed and it will be forever, like, you know?
Yeah, no, New York is not the same. It's weird to have lived through this COVID period and I still, like, we're still in it. It doesn't feel the way that it used to prior, but I don't know. New York has changed for me so much because I feel like when I came here, I was in a very different like space, like mentally. You know what I'm saying? Like I had three goals when I moved to New York. It was to find a man because I had never been in a real relationship. It was to figure out what I wanted my career to be. And it was also to just like live closer to my friends. Those are like the three things that I wanted to like do. And I feel like being able to be, because now, child, now I'm like, manifestation is real, bitch. I live on the same block as my bitches, like my best friends from college.
Oh, I'm so cute. Yeah.
Literally. So I'm, listen, it's a blessing how it all happened. And then they moved. So now they're closer. So I was like, this is too much. It's like some of my biggest moments have been when I switched from, because I used to teach elementary school. Mm. When I first came here, I taught kindergarten. It was basically like I was like a apprentice teacher. So I would like hop into classes when teachers would be out sick. But then they were like, bitch, you're good. They were like, we want to give you a full-time job and we don't like this man. So skirt. So they kicked him to the curb and then gave me his job. And I taught third grade, and then they gave me first grade the next year. And then I was like, I love these girls, but I miss teaching like Spanish. And it was just like stressful being in an all girl environment. And I wanted to be able to connect. And I felt like I was able to give them a different perspective, especially as a queer, like Black man. But I also felt like that was not my place. You feel what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. I wanted to get back to what I'd always gone to school for. So when I made that decision to switch, that was also the time that I started like my sobriety from alcohol and stuff like that. So it was like, I started teaching high school, and then I also started kind of like working on like, you know, not drinking and everything. Cause that was taking over my life too. Mm. So it was like, that was like maybe 2016. I want to say.
If you live in New York, New Yorkers motherfucking drink.
They drink that and teach
all your money too.
Yes, it does. And it's expensive here. Cause it's most expensive place. So you're out, you know what I'm saying? You're getting in Ubers, you know what I'm saying? Because you have to get home because you don't want to ride the train. Mm. It was just a vicious cycle. You know, so.
And the hangovers.
Oh my God. Like, those are the things that I do not miss. Do not miss that. The spiraling out of control. Like, it's just like, you cannot pay me to go back to those times. And I can't even sit here and be like, oh my God, like, I haven't drank. I definitely have. And it's like every single time that it's been like a relapse, it's been like, I remember why I don't do this. And then it makes me stay away from it that much longer. Mm-hmm. It's like, I know exactly why I'm not doing this shit in the first place. Cause it is literally ruining me. And I want to keep this body. That has been, I think as I've gotten older, it's so much more important to think about like, oh my gosh, like this is all I got. You know what I'm saying? I think
all
when
you
we grow
got.
Up, whoo child, when we grow
Ain't
up, we
myself
think,
and I, that's all
okay,
I
all I got in the end.
That's what I'll I be found out.
Okay.
Hey. But not to segue, but I mean, I do think it's important that people, especially the LGBTQ community, be aware of our relationship with alcohol. Because I don't know if you know, I lived in Chicago for like 5 years, and I was like a party girl there. And it was just like every, you know, getting drunk and then like crying about our problems. And, you know, it was kind of like, you know, we were doing like political activism stuff and like, you know, partying. But it was just like alcohol became too much of a bonding factor. And I get nauseous easily. So, I mean, I hold my liquor, but my hangovers would be so bad and I would just be so depressed and shit. So definitely cheers to being aware of your relationship with alcohol and stuff.
Ooh, okay. Come on, truth burp. You see, listen, because I don't know if you have those. I call them truth burps. And I think it was like a witch that I met. I went to Toronto, top of 2020. And she was like, I call these truth burps when it's like you have gas out of nowhere and it's like it affirms everything. So I took that and I was like, oh, this makes perfect fucking sense.
Ashay.
So I was like, I feel you there, because honestly, as you say that, it makes me think like that is kind of like the spiral or the phase that I'm moving out of as I'm like planning my shit to get out of New York or whatever. Because I feel like I came from Pittsburgh. I went to Pitt. I was there for 2 years. And that's basically what that cycle was. And I was like, I gotta get the fuck out of here. Because Pittsburgh, I don't know if you've ever been there. Exactly.
I never want to go. No,
no, go ahead, child.
You moved there from Georgia?
Mm-hmm.
Well, you wanted to be up north somewhere, probably.
Uh-huh. And graduate, it was either there or like Riverside for my PhD program, and Pittsburgh was like the closest thing to New York. It was an 8-hour ride.
Okay. That makes sense then.
Mm-hmm.
I was in a PhD program too.
Okay, so please, because I'm like, Chicago PhD program, please run me these deets. Because I'm like, we have way too many like parallels in our lives that I'm like noticing. Yeah. And I'm like, I feel like that's something to affirm.
Hey,
person, to be like, there's something to learn in that.
Yeah, well, just for the listeners too. Mm-hmm. But I'm from Mississippi, Tupelo, Mississippi. But my dad's side of the family is from down here, like Louisiana, Mississippi area. And so I lived abroad for a year in like junior year of college. Okay. And then I went to University of Michigan, but I got a master's degree from there because the PhD program was trifling. I was like, this is driving a lot of the people I know into deep depression. So I left there and then moved to Chicago and worked in higher ed. I was in Chicago from like 2013 to 2018-ish. Mm-hmm. And then, and that's when I started doing my like tarot business and stuff. But I've been reading tarot for like 14 years. And then, and I'm a cultist for like a long time too. But then after living in Chicago, I moved here to New Orleans. So I've been here for about 2.5 years. And then, so I'm here, you know, doing my training and stuff, my AWOL training. And then I think next stop is definitely Miami.
Okay.
And Bienvenidos. But okay. I'm going to like, my spirit is just telling me to go visit and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And see, because I'm not really trying to live in the city. Uh-huh. I also live kind of outside, just near the water, because I have Olokun and Yemaya are like who give me my blessings and stuff. So like walking by the water is like good for me and shit. So I love being like near the water.
I completely identify with that, and like that's part of the reason why when I do go out west, because I try to get to Los Angeles, if not every year, every other year.
Yeah,
it's kind of like a trip that I try like make. Because it always, every single time I go there, I've come back and I felt more connected to myself. Mm-hmm. It's something in the air over there.
I love Los Angeles.
Yeah.
I think I've gone there like 9 times in the past.
Really?
Like 5 years, 4 or 5 years.
Oh my gosh.
I would go like 2-3 times a year. Because I have like a lot of friends that live there and shit. And, shit, bitch, I might be moving to LA next.
Okay. Listen, we be out there pumping these motherfucking streets, okay?
What's up?
Okay.
I don't know. See,
you never know.
I am thinking about environmental calamities, and both of them are subject to, Miami has a hurricane.
Water and wind. Fire.
But LA, I think. Well,
We're gonna see.
We'll stay in contact offline.
Of course. No, because I was about to say, I already can tell the way that things are going. I don't know where I'm being led, but I feel this sense of like, because I like to play low key, like, I'm such a shadow bitch. Like, I tell people I'm Casper. Like, I don't necessarily like being, not necessarily not seen all the time, but like, I sometimes struggle with like putting myself out there as much as I know that I should. You know what I mean? Like, imposter syndrome is, you know, some of us call it. It's like, are you good enough for this right now? Like, whatever. And it's like, there are things that literally go against all of those feelings. So you need to just suck it up and do it, because you know that that's what you're supposed to be doing.
Period.
And it's like stepping into that and like knowing that like it's our season, it's our time. Mm-hmm. It's just like stay focused, and also just like, my biggest thing is always like staying humble and being real about it. You feel what I'm saying? Like, I'm always, if I'm going through it, I'm gonna tell you I'm going through it. Like, if I'm good, I'm gonna tell you I'm good. You like, it's just, that's the reality of life. And I'm like, I'd much rather you know how I operate, because I always tell people too, I'm like, sometimes I disappear for like a week or two and then I pop back up. It ain't nothing.
It'd be like that.
You know what I mean? But that's self-awareness. Mm-hmm. And I think that that's like, that's one of the most humbling things that people will like say, like, you're so self-aware. You're so conscious of. I'm like, yes, baby, because I need to make sure I know what I'm giving out, so I know, you know, how I can receive it back or how I can become better.
And also, especially as someone who is particularly touched and anointed, you gotta be careful.
Okay.
So I know you were talking about Pittsburgh, and then so New York, the sobriety, alcohol sobriety.
Yes. So that was kind of like one of my biggest things while I was here. I would say getting this apartment that I live in, because I lived with two white cis women, lesbians. And that was like my first year like living in New York, and then that we ended up like separating, and I moved into this apartment, and I've been in this place by myself for like 4 or 5 years.
By yourself in NYC. Wow. Yeah,
in Bed-Stuy. Like,
living the dream.
Very much so. So like that's something that people all, I'm grateful that I've had this place this long, and it's like, it's my sanctuary. People always, I don't let a lot of people in my house, you know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. Like, I could probably count on two hands the number of people I've had in this house in the last 5 years. Mm-hmm. But when people come here, they're always like, it's just so comfy. I'm like, yeah, because this spirit's running around in here, child. Right. It's comfortable in here. Okay, they be keeping me safe. They want to make sure you good too.
Hey.
It's tough. It's important. I love when my friends will come through and they'll like say hello. They'll like leave little offerings and stuff like that. I'm like,
aww.
I'm like, I love y'all. I'm like, that's, those are the type of people I have in my life and I'm grateful for. You know what I'm saying? So that's also like a really big thing, I guess, for me too, is like this transition into, because my house has changed so much. Like, I remember like even looking at the damn thing. I remember I used to have just like one drawer that was over to my right. And I used to have trash bags of where my clean clothes were because I didn't have dressers. I couldn't get anything in here. You know what I'm saying? And like, I promise you, the years that I started like, doing like, I used to do daily tarot pulls for the collective. Like, I was knocking them bitches out every day. I used to have like a, call it Sunday service. So I would get up on Periscope at like 11:11
on Periscope.
Yes, because I used to hop on Twitter. Yes, okay, that's how you know it was back in the day. And used to hop on Twitter every Sunday and basically just like give, like, it was like church. I grew, my grandmother's a minister, great grandfather minister. Like, I come from a very long line of like preachers. So it was like my way of centering for the week and also like offering that to folks. And then, you know, I've shifted more into how do I follow the moon and how do I share those things and also like offer these different modalities. Cause it's like, I love tarot, but I had to take a step away from it for a little bit. And I was shifted to oracles, and I was also shifting into just like other ways of offering and other ways of receiving messages, automatic writing, Akashic records, like all the different things. Like, I'd be in here studying on the low. I just don't like, I'm gonna be saying all the time what I be studying because I, you know what I'm saying? It's like, I, you know, you're learning, so you never feel 100% like ready to share, but it's like, I've been doing my work so that way I can continue to become better and offer it to not just myself, but whoever else needs a blessing, you know?
Hey, Ashe. So then, I guess you're you have a range of modalities then. So what kinds of services do you offer? I think I saw that you do candle Reiki.
That is like that's my favorite out of everything that I do. So like, that's something that normally I will not offer all year, but I'll keep it open more often than I have like my one-on-ones. But candle Reiki healing is basically just like using Reiki symbols, using Reiki energy. But I also, maybe like last year or something like that, I had a friend of mine, I remember a reading that I had, and he brought up Prince, right? And he was talking about, you know, the idea of Prince having his symbol. Prince's symbol can still live after he's not here. You can call in that energy. You know who he is. You understand like his power. Like, even though he's not here in the physical, you still can kind of like see when he's around, when you notice that. So in my mind, I was like, well, if I wanted to create my own, what would that look like? And how does that, you know, how does that process go? And if I wanted to infuse it or set the intention for these things, what does that look like? So I played around with it for a little bit. And then I basically like came up with something, and it felt like I remembered something. It was like I unlocked a key or some shit, and I got it as a tattoo.
Oh.
So in my mind, and the way that it's set up is like, it's like if you share it at the right time, or share it with the right folks, it's like having access to the theme of, it's like Venus, Mars, and the Sun all infused into one. So it's kind of like bringing that healing, bringing that energy, that divine feminine, but also being able to be about that action and always knowing that like you're calling in that healing every single time you're invoking this like symbol or what have you. So it's like I throw that into the candle, and it's like helping people to kind of like release those blockages in their life. It's like sometimes people come with, you know, breakups. Some people come with like desires for like new houses. Some people come with desires for new mindset, one self-love. And it's like I walk you through the process. What are you noticing? How are you noticing that this is shifting in your life, or what are the things that appear? How do you hold on to these things? So that's kind of like the direction I do that with my.
Damn.
That, mm-hmm.
I need to talk to you after this. Reiki for the energetic release, bitch. But yeah, hit my girl up. That's what's up.
Okay. But yes, I offer that. And then you also, because I was going to say, I also do, sometimes I do like one-to-ones. It depends. I have like a general guidance session that I do now. So it's basically like 75 minutes of like whatever you need. And I go everywhere. I tell people it's like school. Like, I'm just your teacher. So get your pen ready. You know what I'm saying? And give my guidance sessions. But I offer those probably like once a year at this point. Just because things are always shifting. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. So.
And you have a podcast also?
Yes, mystic moments where I bring a little wisdom and a little mysticism to your week, even though it's giving very month right now, because that's the way that life has been.
Hey.
Okay. Sure. But no, what it is what I started it, it was like, I didn't necessarily see a lot of like Black queer voices talking about astrology. And also like, I don't know nothing about no quincunx, no trine, no, I'm like, what are these things? Like, I'm like, these are things that are very confusing for me. So let me break down what I know. And we're going to break it down like that. So it's like, it became kind of like a show of like me talking about, where's the moon transiting? What cycles are we having with that? If you have like a big transit, like Jupiter in Pisces or something, maybe I'll do a little research on that. I'll have guests come on. So, you know, we'll have to talk about that offline, because
yes! That's
a little bit more in the new year.
Yes.
Listen, I'm so here for that. And I'm all about collaboration right now. Like, I'm all about like reaching out to people and like letting people know, like, I want to do shit. I get so caught up in my head and like anxious, like, am I going to come correct? Like, am I reaching out? Am I, you know, and then it's like, no girl, just like do it. Like, it's time for you to step out. So
reach out and do it. Shit.
Mm-hmm.
Well, we gonna make that happen. Period. So, I did want to talk about your, you were in BuzzFeed and Vogue. What was that, coverage like? What was that?
Oh my gosh.
That's the girls up a little bit, you know?
First and foremost, thank you. oh my gosh. Like, now that I'm thinking about that, I remember that time was crazy. So I had, a girlfriend of mine. This was like right after I left teaching. It was like when I really went through like my shadow moment, you know what I'm saying? The dark night of the soul.
Oh, you left teaching, yeah.
Yeah, like it was like I was basically like inept for like a whole summer. No income, no nothing. And then this opportunity pops out of nowhere. And it was basically like, we'll fly, like you can fly out here. We'll reimburse you for your ticket or something like that. You'll get paid a little something. I was like, oh my God, a gig to basically like read tarot, and it's Black friends do tarot for the first time. Tell me, it was 11/11 was the date that I filmed this on.
What?
November 11th, 2019. You literally could not make that up. I was like, really? It was like a full moon. What full moon is going to happen around that time? If we go back to November. So maybe like Taurus or something like that was like happening. So I'm like, okay, like, I don't know what this is giving. But it was nice to see people positively respond. I think I was reading, because I don't really get into comments all the time, because I could be so negatively affected. I'm like, I'm so sensitive, I don't want anybody to dislike me. But I remember somebody saying, like, this is the most like positive comment section I've ever seen, like, on BuzzFeed. Like,
wow.
It was super dope to sit, because there was also a segment where I filmed with a psychic. It was on, I found out that this was on Snapchat. Snapchat had it as like a feature back in like February. But I filmed with like this psychic. He basically, remember I told you about my stepbrother, he like spoke to him, he came into the room and everything like that. It was very like crazy. It was crazy, but in a good way. It was like, wow, this is like some, that was when I was stepping into the world. So that was like my first opportunity to have like me and like Gangsta Gurry like put out there, you know what I'm saying? And then Vogue literally popped out of nowhere. Like, it was like somebody reached out and was like, hey, love your work. Vogue reached out to me. They asked if I knew any astrologers. I gave them your information. They may reach out to you. And 2 weeks later, here it is manifesting out of nowhere. And I'm like, holy shit. So that's like how I started 2021, with like the 13 astrologers to follow. And I was like, I don't know how I got wrapped up in this astrology shit. But you know what? If that's what y'all see me as, go ahead, girl. I'll tell you very differently when you come to my... Okay. So it was that. Oprah Magazine was in February. InStyle was in March. Wow. So it's just been feature after, and I'm like, yes, Lord. I'm like, I don't know. I was gonna say, I don't know what I did, but I do know what I did to deserve this. I started moving in my purpose. You know what I'm saying? And started taking opportunities when they came, instead of like finding fear in being asked questions about things that I've been studying for years. You know what I'm saying?
It's What was that transition like from teaching to, I guess, are you like full-time spiritual worker and stuff?
So I still, like, I don't teach anymore. So I call my day job. It's basically, like, something I do for a couple of hours a month. I work as, like, a support agent. So basically, like, superintendents, leadership folks all around, like, educate, like, schools around the country. I deal with them to, like, help them for ways in order to make their schools better. So I do that very part-time, but then everything else that I do has been, like, doing readings, doing candle magic, doing, like, making content, which is weird to call myself a content creator, because I never thought that I would literally call myself that, but that's kind of, like, you know, the crux of what
I do. That's
what it's giving. But it was very hard, because there was a stability that came with that. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? There was a stability, like, I know this check is going to come in. I know that, you know, I can keep this apartment, whatever, whatever. But I was so drained. Like, I would literally wake up mornings with migraines. I would be, like, throwing up some mornings, just, like, out of nowhere. Mind you, I'm not drinking nothing. Like, it's just, like, that's how my body is responding to having to go to this place and be around these people and all this energy. And then I think I started transitioning into, like, covering my head while I worked at my last school. And they started, like, giving pushback. And I was, like, this is literally, like, the only thing that's able to keep me here, like, in this building today. And then I just started, like, missing work, like, because I couldn't get out of bed. Like, it was, like, I would try to wake up, do my little tarot reading for the day, because that was when I was really getting deeper into my practices. I would pull, and I used to have a blog. People that's been with me for a long time know that I used to wake up and I used to blog the tarot reading of the day. And you would, like, be able to see, like, the energy. Mm-hmm. This was, like, 2018, maybe. Mm-hmm. So it was, like, it was hard because it was, like, I was teaching Spanish. I was the department chair. Then it was, like, oh, like, I can't show up physically anymore. You know what I'm saying? The same way. So it was, like, what can I do? So they gave me a schedule that, like, worked. Then they made me, like, working with, like, the students that needed some assistance to make sure they graduate on time. Because it was hours that, like, worked for me. And then it was just, like, I was on disability. I had, a complete, like, breakdown in here where it was, like, I couldn't leave the house. Couldn't even call out. I was just scared. Like, it was, like, I just felt like this whole box of, like, paranoia. And that was when something was, like, you got to start weaning yourself out of this. And then now that you say that, you brought up a memory, child. Let me drink my water, because, child.
What?
I remember that summer, 2019. It was, like, around this time, actually. I got drunk unexpectedly. Got into a fight. Had my tarot cards on me because I was supposed to be doing readings for somebody at this birthday party that I went to. Tell me why. Do you remember the Tarot of the Orishas deck, the Zolrak deck?
Yeah.
You heard of this deck before? It was that deck. 11 cards are missing. And I should go back because I think I wrote them down somewhere. But, like, the deck was broken. 11 cards are missing. So I started looking at them and what they meant. And it was like, bitch, you about to take a trip. My friend from home, from Georgia, she buys me this ticket out of nowhere to fly me home because they could tell I was in crisis. Guess how many days it was for?
11.
Of course.
What? Wow.
Mm-hmm.
What? So
that's where that started. I flew down to Atlanta. It was a lot of, like, family healing. Ended up in Maryland. Some shit went down there. And then I ended up back in New York after having a little detour in Delaware, which we'll save that for offline. Had a little detour in Delaware and then ended up back in New York. And it was just like, I couldn't go back to work when I was supposed to be off of disability because I had, like, a rash that, like, literally, like, so Babalu Aye. When I've read about, and sometimes in the stuff that I've learned, like, Shapa, like, I've always kind of, like, identified because I have, like, eczema. I've always had eczema. So I've always had, like, these, like, scars and stuff like that, like, cover my legs and everything. So it was like I was going through this period where it was basically, like, I was broken out in a rash, like, all my face, my neck, my back, my legs. I couldn't sleep. So I was in the house, like, literally, like, shedding skin to have this, this reformation and step out. That's what took me, because it was, like, I couldn't go back to work. Because I couldn't go back, I had to figure out what I had to do. And this was literally, I had been reading and stuff like that for maybe a year at that point, year or two. So I took a chance of, like, offering services to folks in, slowly but surely, just, like, being consistent. And then also, I just give all my love. You know what I'm saying? I put my all into what I do. So it's, like, I think that people know whenever you're coming to work with me, like, I always have the best intention and, you know, want to make sure that you get what you came for. And I can be the conduit for that message. So that's where it started. And it's, like, ever since then, it's been a ride, but it's been a fun ride. And I've learned so much and I've grown into somebody that, like, I think when I think about me as my, like, 15-year-old, not even necessarily closeted, but closeted, like, gay self, I'm like, he would look at him and be like, I like that nigga. Like, he's pretty dope.
Mm-hmm. And that's all you can wish for.
Okay.
Wow, that's amazing. Well, we're approaching an hour, so, you know, I want to keep this kind of short, I guess. Well, yes, a longer Kiki. But you got to come back on the show. Do you have any things that you want to leave the listeners with, or any things you're offering?
What do I want to leave the listeners with? So it was something I heard today that I wanted to share. Sometimes a small act can make a big ripple effect. Mm-hmm. And that sat with me in a very different way today. Just like, you know, sometimes having like those conversations, just being like open, can change your life. So just like continue to be truthful to who you are. I don't know why, but that felt very important to share with your listeners, with anybody else out there. And gratitude to you. I am at a point right now, I don't have anything coming up on the schedule as far as like offerings for the collective. I do know that there is this, should be doing this Solstice Retreat. I did this last year. So I may have something coming up for that. But if people are looking to connect with me, I do have like a very small window of offerings open for guided sessions, I like to call them. Find me Gangsta Gurry, Gangsta with an A, because I don't do that ER Buster bullshit over here. we ain't no gangster, bitch. Like, okay. and Gurry with two R's. You can find me on Instagram, Twitter. You can find me on Patreon, where I like to share, you know, personal things with like my people. Let them know about like what's happening in my life and also what's going on in the collective. Or you can find me gangstagurry.me, because it's me, bitch, and that's where you can find all my shit.
Oh my god, we love to see it. Well, thank you for coming on.
Thank you for having me. Listen.